This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
One of our favorites, man, sitting next to him at camp and just stirring up all kinds of trouble. That's, man.
You know, Pete, yeah, he is a troublemaker.
He gets after that. Pete Prisco, senior NFL analyst for CBS Sports. Pete, how you doing, man? It's been a while.
What's up, guys? How are you?
Man, we're doing okay.
Hey Pete, I gotta tell you, I was thinking about this. You know, we were in Madrid last week. And what a beautiful place, right? I mean, the architecture, you're looking at buildings and they've got their little plaques on them.
You know,
1860,
yeah.
1720. And I'm looking at the architecture. I say, you know what? It reminds me of Coral Springs.
What's that? Coral Springs.
I thought you were going to say the dates reminded you guys of when you were born.
Hey, you better be careful.
Not far from it. Me too, by the way.
Not far from it.
Hey, Pete, so you've been watching. We got rid of Chris Greer, gone. Well, whatever it was, but he's no longer here. I'm just curious, going forward, do you think Mike McDaniel's back? And do you think Champ Kelly becomes from interim to full-time general manager?
Well, let me start with Mike McDaniel. Look, beating the Bills was big for him. Now, building on it, is something that maybe he can keep his job. And you do hear rumblings that they really don't want to fire him. Now, I was on the other day, and one of my guys said to me, he goes, oh, yeah, you know, the players are responding. They don't want to get it. They clearly want Mike McDaniel around. I go, yeah, of course they do. They yeah. have to practice very hard. Of course they want him around. So, but I do think, he deserves credit. The team could have folded up and gone home and packed their bags, and he would have been fired. And they've responded, and he's responded. So, for as much as I've ripped him over the years, I think he deserves credit for this little mini run. Now, having said that, what saves his job? Does 8 wins save his job? Or does the fact that whoever would be the head coach is stuck with Tua next year save his job? And so I think there's a bunch of things at play. But look, they've turned it around a little bit, and you got to give them credit for that. You know, people put their in the mix, in the hunt for in the playoffs. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
But if he got to 8 wins, I mean, maybe he stays around because in large part because whoever comes in and takes that job is stuck with Tua for a year.
I think that's a big point. I haven't asked you. You agree. You think part of this with Mike is Tua, right? He's going to get the most out of it.
I think so. I mean, look, when Mike came in, he built an offense specifically for Tua. And we've seen it. We've seen it over the last couple of times when you've had to bring one of these backup quarterbacks in. It's like trying to put a size 12 foot
yeah.
into a size 8 shoe.
Yeah.
It just doesn't fit.
I don't think either one of these quarterbacks can run second and third guys
no.
can run Mike's system at no. all. And by the way, the smart thing with Tua is just get the ball to Achane 30 times, either through air or running the ball. That's been the key last couple of weeks. Where do you put Achane right now when you look at him, Pete, as running back-wise?
Oh, he's one of the best in the league right now. I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, he's not Jonathan Taylor, but he this guy's, and he's not Jahmyr Gibbs, but he's up in the conversation. And I'm with you. Give him the ball. Get him the ball. Do anything you can to get him the football. And you're right. The big part of their, you know, being better is because they got the ball to him on a consistent basis. So I'm with you. I think the kid's been great. They've also had some other guys, you know, step up. I mean, I think they got a left tackle. I think that guy's going to be a good player.
Patrick Paul,
he's a good player. They, you know, Waddle's a good player. He's probably a little overpaid, but he's a good player. But, you know, everybody during the trade deadline said, well, what are you going to do, trade Waddle? Well, you can't trade everybody. Yeah. You got to have some players on that team to build around. So I do like what they've done with Achane. And on the other side of the ball, some of those, you know, Grant's playing better now. I mean, you know, he was terrible in the beginning of the year. You know, Sealer still, he's playing better, but he's not playing up to his standards where after getting the contract. But, guy, you know, Brooks has been really good. So guys have been, you know, they've been better. And I think that's a step in the right direction for the organization. One quick thing. You guys were doing the game. What in the hell is he doing at the end of the game? Can somebody explain that to me?
You know, how much time have we spent on this yesterday?
On it. I'm sitting there going, you got to kick the ball. You got to get ahead.
You know, a lot of this had to do with analytics and the numbers and all this stuff. That drives Bo nuts.
But sometimes you got to get away from analytics. Now I'm watching the game, and you're down there, and it's been a tough game for both teams to score on. You've each had one touchdown, and you've kicked two field goals in that whole game. So now you get down and forget the analytics. You get down there, and you're on the 2-yard line, and you're going to go for it instead of taking the field goal and going ahead by 3 points. First of all, your goal line offense has been miserable during the game. Two times you got stopped within their 5-yard line going on it for fourth down. Now you're going to do it again in a game that scoring is very difficult to come by. I just, you know, in for me, maybe I'm just a stupid guy that's had my hand in the dirt too long, but especially if I'm a defensive guy, put the points on the board and let us, you know, trust on us to stop that team and keep it. And if you're not, look, you kick a field goal, you're still in the game. You know, all you got to do is stop a touchdown. And then you go to overtime like you did. So that's just coming from me, who's not an offensive-minded football player.
You know, Pete, I think some of it had to do with the Chargers game, too, where we score a touchdown and they march. They get a great return, get it to midfield, one missed tackle, and the guy runs, and it's a short field goal.
But how many points were scored in that game? That was an up and down game.
Yeah, late it was. Yeah.
You got to take the games into account. And analytics doesn't take the games into account.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't take the flow of the game exactly.
Right, but then he compounded that by calling the timeouts and giving them an opportunity to kick a field goal. What was he doing? That, I said on the show on Sunday after we did the wrap up, I said it was coaching malpractice. That's what that was. Why would you? What are you thinking? You're getting the ball back. If you're getting the ball back, you gave them an opportunity to kick a field goal. It made no sense to me.
Yeah. Heck yeah. And by then, no, you're right. Hey, everybody forgets we're talking about two wins in a row, and we got lucky. That guy misses that 56-yard field goal, and by the way, got cut after missing it. It cost him his damn job.
Did he have to fly home?
He went from Hero.
Did he have to fly home on another plane?
I think they flew him home and put him in a
coach.
They
put him in a coach back. Yeah.
Put him in the back.
The Spirit Airlines fly from Madrid back to wherever they were at. Well,
I'll tell you what, though, if they had blown that end of that game, they might have put McDaniel on it.
Darn right,
plane.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
It would have been a lot of questions. No question about what the hell were you thinking. So let me ask you: 5-5 teams, Baltimore 5-5, Kansas City 5-5, even hell, the Texans who got the great defense 5-5. How many of those teams are going to make the playoffs?
Two. The Chiefs and the Ravens. And by the way, once they get in, nobody's going to want to play them.
No, that's true.
This is the year we look at these teams. We say, oh, look at New England. Look at Denver. And they've done great things. But if you get into the playoffs and Denver's playing Baltimore and Kansas City's playing New England, who are you picking?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think Kansas City. Yes,
right.
Exactly.
And you're going to take Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Even though they haven't won in the playoffs, you probably take them. This might be the year that the Ravens do the reversal, where they've been great in the regular season and Lamar's put up just amazing numbers and won MVPs, and then they flamed out in the postseason. Well, this year they haven't been great in the regular season. We know that. They've had injuries. Lamar was hurt. And now they're starting to get it going. And maybe when they get to the postseason, maybe this will be the year that they do the reversal and they get hot in the playoffs and go on a little bit of a run.
What's your read on the Bills at 7-3? They get ready to take on the Texans in this game tonight.
Well, I think what we saw last week is how Buffalo needs to play. Enough with this. Oh, look, Cook's a good runner, and I know you want to run the ball and everything, but the way you play defense, the way you can't stop the run, the way to get those teams out of running the ball against you is to take leads. Let Josh Allen be Superman. You know, and he's going to turn the ball over. He turned the ball over twice last week. Okay, big deal. He also had 6 touchdowns. Would you take 6 touchdowns and two turnovers every week? Absolutely. It's better than one. See, you know what's happened in this league, guys, and you know this. They've all started to play scared across the board, every single one of them. Look at the completion percentages in the NFL. It's single season completion percentages. I think 8 or 9 of the top 15 have happened in the last 2 years because they don't throw the ball down the field anymore. Everybody's scared. And so I think you got to let your guys loose. It happened with him last week. I think it's starting to happen now in Green Bay with Jordan Love. You got to let the guys play. If he makes a mistake, he's too good. He'll come out from underneath it. Just let him be him.
You know, I'm, you know, along that lines, I'm thinking, you know, I watch some of these games and basic football kind of gets thrown out. I want to, you know, they want to be fancy. They want to fool somebody. They want to find a gimmick. They want to do something instead of just getting a fullback or something, stick him on the middle linebacker and then give the ball to your running back and let him find some room. They want to do this little, you know, some motion or this or that or some little fancy little, you know. Yeah. Just boil it down, man, especially at this time of the year when it's getting cold and all that situation. But everyone wants to be the guy. Ooh, man. Ooh, what a great play call, you know.
But they're also – you know what, too, though, Bo? I mean, look, you know, all these defenses play off all the time now, and they're about, you know, dink and dunk down the field. You can beat guys. You know, if you're playing – say there's a cover two. You can beat 4 verticals beats cover two. We put those safeties in the bind. You throw right over the top of them. Back in the day, Danny would have thrown a laser down the seam for a touchdown for 55 yards. And these guys are like, oh, I'll take the little baby check down because I don't want to turn the ball over. It's just – it's gotten out of hand. And I think, you know, yards per attempt numbers are way down. To me, these guys are all playing scared because they don't want to lose their job instead of dictating to the defense. And here's what you do. You throw to score. You run to win. It's tried and true. It's the same philosophy. Whether you throw off your play action or whatever, but you take shots down the field, you score points, and then you beat the daylights out of them when you have to run the ball.
Hey, so Shedeur Sanders finally could be the quarterback the rest of the season for Cleveland. One problem, they just don't have very good offense. I don't know if it really matters who the quarterback is. Sometimes we got to just stop looking at quarterbacks and just look at the system and who they're playing with. I thought their receivers were terrible. What's your take on Shedeur Sanders and good a chance is he really going to get that job?
Well, I don't think Dylan Gabriel is the long-term answer. So now why not play Shedeur Sanders and find out if he is? I don't think he is, but at least give him the opportunity to show that he is. I like the whole idea, though, that you see it on social media and everything that, oh my God, Kevin Stefanski, what is he, an idiot? Why isn't he playing Shedeur Sanders? He's had him since April. You don't think he knows what he does during practice and in summer and training camp and everything? They know what he is. So, okay, well, maybe he's a gamer. Okay, well, now he's going to play and we'll find out if he's a gamer. He sure as hell didn't look like a gamer last week. He looked lost. And so I think he should play, find out what he is, because Dylan Gabriel is not the long-term answer. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is. So they have a lot of picks next year. They got to go into the draft and find themselves a quarterback.
Again?
Again?
Over and over and over. Well, they had one. They let him get out. His name was Baker Mayfield. They were too stupid to realize that.
That perplexes me. I always like because like you say, he's a gamer. I don't care what you know, whatever. He may punch somebody in the face to get a first down or whatever. Give me that kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then look what he's done. You know, he's just,
no, he's turned out. He's made a lot of people look foolish. You're absolutely right on this rehabilitation.
He was good. He was good in Cleveland, and then he got hurt his shoulder, and then the owner said, well, we're going to go make a deal for Deshaun Watson in the worst trade in the history of the National Football League.
So are they still paying money? I mean, where's Deshaun?
Deshaun's still on the roster. He's just on injured reserve.
What do you do with that, by the way? They owe him for another year, I think, don't they?
Yeah, he's back. He's back next year.
Gosh, guaranteed.
It's not like
fully guaranteed.
Man, it's not like he was any good either. I mean,
so what do you think? What do you think that management team thinks about when they say to see Deshaun Watson walking around the building, around the locker room?
I think it's
something
weird that they have him around in all their meetings and everybody knows.
We had guys that were like, you know, the guys that were hurt that weren't hurt, and they were just cashing a paycheck. And boy, Coach Shula would look at them right straight in the eyes and like piercing them through the brain, like, I could just kill you right now.
Yeah, he would go, you're stealing money.
It was like it was his money. Like
you know what's coming.
Like you were taking money out of his pocket, right?
You know who he went through that with? Lyle Blackwood. He just made Lyle like, I know you're just trying to get a couple extra checks, and you're not really hurt, are you? You're not really hurt. Have a little pride for yourself. You know, pride.
Man, I would have paid to listen to those conversations.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but you know what? The owner, nobody could complain because the owner was the one who mandated to bring in Deshaun Watson. Yeah. That was an owner mandated decision. So, you know, if the management team had nothing really to do with it. It was all done by the owner.
Yeah. Pete, appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, bud, for coming on, spending a little time with us. Thank you.
Playoff fever in Miami, right?
Playoff fever.
Boy, it's starting to boil. It's simmering right now. Pete, it's simmering.
You watch out, right, Pete. Guys. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care.
Pete Prisco, senior NFL analyst for CBS Sports. Pete's always strong, always, always funny. He is something. He truly doesn't care.
Well, you know, you get to that point where you don't care. I mean, he's one of those. He's to that point now. You got you got some of the young people that are doing a good job, but
it's a little early though people to somehow put us still in the hunt.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You got to get back to 500.
Look, but you look at
just get to 500.
You look at New Orleans. You got New Orleans next, and then you got the Jets in the schedule.
Right. No, we should be 6-7.
Yeah, yeah. But we've lost to bad teams prior, so you know,
56-yard field goal almost stuck us right in the you know what?
Yeah.
A few days ago. Yeah. Hey,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
All right, Woody. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joins us. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike, this is right up our alley, man. First of all, we got guys showing up late, staying out after curfew. We got guys that can't get along on the team. We got guys spitting on each other. My God. And we're down the stretch here in this season. Anyway, as we get ready to go here, I do want to ask you, this Philadelphia thing is weird. Like, they're 8-2. We're sitting here talking about how everybody's getting along and loves each other, and we're not even close to 500 yet, and an 8-2 team can't get along. And I'm just curious as I look at it. Jalen Hurts, I had to go back and look at the numbers. Mike, they're pretty good. 16 touchdowns, one pick. He's run for six. Passing game's not great. I get it. A.J. Brown's not always happy. What's the biggest problem that's got everybody fired up with Philadelphia?
Well, you know, it's funny, Joe. This week, the focus finally began to shift to Jalen Hurts. And Derek Gunn, who's covered the Eagles for years, explained this week that they're trying to get Jalen Hurts to run the plays the way they're designed and the way they're expected to unfold, and that he's just not doing it, that he's going out and playing his game. He's not letting it rip. He's patting the ball too long. It throws off the timing of the play. When the players go back and look at the film and they see that they're open and they're not getting the ball, it creates frustrations from the players, from the coaching staff. And the reality is, once you do that second contract, you put yourself in a position where, especially the way the Eagles do it, they use annual option bonuses that are exorbitant, small base salaries. It kicks cap numbers into future years. They're stuck. The way that they had set up the contract, they could have traded Jalen Hurts after the first year with minimal financial pain. After year two, year three, you start doing these big option bonuses that get spread out over 5 years. You got all this money that accelerates back toward the cap at the same time. They're looking at $62 million if they would decide, you know what, we need to go a different way at quarterback. And what that does, it gives him a ton of power over the team. He's got a ton of power over the team. He can basically run the offense however he sees fit. And the way Derek Gunn explains it, he thinks that's what Jalen Hurts is doing. And the other side of it, too, and this is what's amazing, because I firmly believe that there's a story to be told about the relationship between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. There's been things said. Brandon Graham said something last year, and then he tried to take it back. There's been rumors. There's just been smoke that there's some personal issue between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. And for as much as the Eagles have been able to keep that under wraps, they can't otherwise keep this stuff under wraps. It's just weird. Like, this notion that the frustration's out there, and A.J. Brown saying the stuff A.J. Brown says, like, how do they not keep that from happening? But they don't. But at the same time, they manage to conceal the thing that's at the heart of the problem. It really is strange. And I think as the Eagles continue into this season, it's becoming a bigger and bigger story that I don't think, as much as the Eagles want it to go away, I don't think it's going away.
Yeah, it's a wild one. And right now, as I said, they're 8-2 of the number one seed in the NFC. So that's kind of crazy, too, because this is stuff that happens when you're really, really a bad football team. Hey, so I got to ask you about Shedeur Sanders. Gets his first start. Mike, I got to tell you, and people took a lot of shots at him last week about how bad he is. We saw that team. That offense and those receivers are not very good. And they beat the Dolphins. I'm talking about a team that actually beat the Dolphins. I didn't think they were very good. How is he supposed to have success when he's thrown to that group? What would be your take on his chances of looking good the rest of this year?
Well, and I was stunned after that game ended, and Kevin Stefanski, the Browns coach, said that Shedeur Sanders hadn't had a single first-team rep in any setting. Practice, not one. And this is what happens when you draft two rookie quarterbacks, because we got to get Dylan Gabriel ready, but we also got to get Shedeur Sanders ready. And we've got Shedeur Sanders ready without him ever having a first-team rep. Well, he's had him all week, and we'll see what he can do. But this just goes back to, as a wise man named Juju Smith-Schuster once said, the Browns is the Browns. Like, whatever they can do wrong, they do wrong. And they finally moved on, although apparently he decided to move out from Paul DePodesta, who was the chief strategy officer. And I really am not aware of any strategy the Browns have had during his time that was a good strategy. But having the two quarterbacks there and just treating the, you know, this quarterback contract's an asset. Like, you got to build a team. You got to build a team. But now Shedeur Sanders gets his chance. And it's a game that they could win. They're taking on the Raiders. And it's just amazing to see how much hype there is, even when they're 2-8. I wrote something yesterday. DraftKings has 11 different prop bets for Shedeur Sanders.
Wow.
11.
Wow.
So the quarterback of a 2-8 team is getting his first NFL start. You can go in there and you can, you know, bet on rushing yards per quarter, passing yards per, just all this stuff. And I don't know anything about odds calculation, but they don't seem like great odds. But you can do it if you want to do it. And that just shows you that, you know, personalities drive this sport. And even a guy who's never had a start for a struggling team that's been a bottom feeder for years, that name carries weight. And there's going to be some buzz and there's going to be some interest. And it's an opportunity for him. And it's a no-lose opportunity for him. Because if it doesn't go well, what did we expect? If he somehow comes out and plays well,
yeah,
that's going to be one of the top stories on Monday.
Yep, no question. Hey, so this Ja'Marr Chase thing clearly spit on Jalen Ramsey. Not up for debate. Everybody saw it in one of those close-ups, those guys face-to-face. And he denies it, which – I don't know. I think it's a bad look. It's one thing to be yelling at a guy and see a little spray coming out of his mouth, but another one to see whatever that was that came out. What's the league? I mean, it's one of the lowest things you can do. Cheap shot a guy is one thing too, but spitting on another guy. Do they have to do more, Mike? Because we've seen a lot of it. We've already seen it a few times this year. Colleges also had it.
Well, you know, for years, Joe, the punishment for spitting on an opponent was a fine. And Sean Jones told a great story years ago about Clarence Kay, the former Broncos tight end, spitting on Sean Jones during a game. Jones said he ran to the sideline, and he claims it was a scalpel. I don't know that the trainer has a scalpel, but he says he got a scalpel out of the trainer's kit and was going to go out and slash Clarence Kay with it until Howie Long stopped him. But, you know, you're going to react. As Mike Tomlin said this week, someone spits on you, do what comes natural. But for years, it was just a fine. And the Jalen Carter thing ultimately was an ejection and a fine, but they tried to dress it up as a suspension to change the precedent. And it worked, because when Ja'Marr Chase got suspended, the hearing officer, Jordy Nelson, ruled in favor of the league. And now everyone knows there can be no doubt if you spit on an opponent,
right,
you will be suspended one game without pay. And depending upon what your salary is and per game roster bonuses and other things, the consequences can be significant. For Ja'Marr Chase, it's $507,000 for spitting on Jalen Ramsey. And you're right, Joe. At some point, you just have to own up to your conduct. It'll be interesting when he comes back and he meets with reporters.
Right.
And he surely will be asked about it. You know, do you have an apology to make? To say? At some point, you just have to swallow your pride and your spit. And you have to say, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I shouldn't have done it.
No question. So the other one is, now we're finding out CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens missed a curfew night before the game. So, Mike, is there proof that they literally were out getting liquored up pretty good? Or what are we hearing from that? Or is it they're claiming they were just late and they were fine? They both had really good games, especially Pickens in the game. What are we hearing on that one?
Isn't it funny, though, that CeeDee Lamb will openly say, yeah, I missed curfew, but don't you dare suggest I got so drunk I threw up.
Right.
I know how to hold my liquor. And you know what's funny about this? Like, the third headline and the one that everyone's ignoring is they're hanging out in a freaking casino. Look at how the NFL has changed, right?
Yes.
Look at how the NFL has changed. 10 years ago, and it was only 10 years ago, Tony Romo was going to have a fantasy football convention in a building that is owned by a casino, but there's no gambling on the property. And the NFL shut it down. And now here we are. And it's just funny because my latest book, Big Shield, it's based on a Vegas-based mobster who, you know, hangs out at the casinos strategically. He knows where to go. He knows who to cozy up to. And you know, just think about it. NFL athletes out and about, yes, having a few drinks, hanging around. These guys are susceptible. And I'm not suggesting they did anything wrong. I'm just saying, if we want to be surprised about Terry Rozier and the Cleveland Guardians pitchers and all this other stuff, don't be. Because those things are the end result of relationships that spontaneously start in places like wherever CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens were on Monday night.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, and we got a zillion things to get into, but yeah, that's an ongoing problem, this whole Vegas thing. I actually thought it'd be a lot worse than it's been. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Joe, yeah. Joe, do you really think the NFL is telling us everything they know about all of the potential scandals involving their players and gambling?
No.
Or are they keeping their mouths shut? I mean, it's not. Look at what's happened to baseball and the NBA from having these things come to light. They got Congress up their butts.
Right.
So I don't know this, but I would not be surprised to learn that there's been some stuff that the NFL has handled very, very quietly for fear of having that same microscope and or whatever the thing is that they use for a colonoscopy inserted in a place where they don't want it inserted.
You know, Mike, it's funny because so the teams on the East Coast, as you know, usually go out a couple days early to Vegas, you know, considered a West Coast trip. And we were out there a long time, man. And I was like, and a lot of good restaurants are around inside those casinos and by where all the gambling. Yeah. Good luck on that one, man. Unless you're going to lock them down with like 25 security guys and babysit them. That's always going to be a problem. I don't think it'll ever go away. Hey, so I want to get to, Aaron Rodgers. We expecting him to play in this game or not? I mean, they're getting down. The Ravens are sneaking up on him here in the division.
I think, number one, he's going to play. And number two, I don't think the drop-off from him to Mason Rudolph is as big as we would have expected going into the season. Rudolph was pretty good in the second half of the game against Cincinnati, 12 for 16, 127 yards and a touchdown pass. Statistically, passer rating better than Rodgers for the game. I think they will be fine either way. That doesn't mean they're definitely going to win, but I don't think it changes the offense all that much because it's not like Rodgers is throwing BBs all over the field. He's a different guy than he used to be. I think he's determined to play. It's the Bears, the team he owns. He's not going to sublet them to Mason Rudolph for a week. This is his last game against the Bears, presumably. He has to view it that way. Last trip to Soldier Field, I can't imagine him not playing. And the way that Mike Tomlin explained it on Tuesday, it all comes down to, number one, supporting the wrist that has a fracture in it. Number two, pain tolerance. And he said that's not an issue for Aaron Rodgers. And number three, functionality. And they'll determine based upon practice today, I assume. He practiced on a limited basis yesterday. Nobody knows what limited means. Limited is anywhere from individual drills all the way up to everything but one play of your normal workload. So limited is a wide range, but he did practice yesterday. We'll see what he does today, but I'll be stunned if he doesn't play. And if it's bad enough that he doesn't play this week, I don't know when he comes back. I mean, that's the one thing that really hasn't been addressed. If the injury is such that he's unable to play this week, then he can't play until the injury is healed to the point that he can. He can miss multiple weeks. If he misses this week, I think he'll play.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, like you said, these wild card spots, not to mention still chance that had the lead in their division, you want to get as many of these games down the stretch as you go. Here, Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. Which teams make the playoffs right now, Mike, of those three teams?
It dawned on me yesterday, and it was reinforced last night when the Bills lost to the Texans. There is a chance that none of the three make it, and there is no way that anyone credibly saw that coming.
No way.
That between the Bills, the Ravens, and the Chiefs, they would end up 8, 9, and 10 in the AFC playoff field. And it's not ridiculous because now the Texans are a game behind the Bills in the wild card chase, and they hold the tiebreaker. And the Jaguars are a game ahead of the Chiefs in the tiebreaker chase. And the Jaguars hold the tiebreaker thanks to the Trevor Lawrence fall down, go boom, twice score a touchdown, Chris Jones loafs from week 6. Wouldn't that be amazing if that's the play
that keeps
the Chiefs out of the playoffs?
Oh, that'd be a bad one. Oh, Lord, that'd stick with you. And don't think every fan base member you have wouldn't be throwing that at your rear end for sure. Crazy. Yeah. No.
Now, if the Chiefs get in, they're going to be dangerous. But I never would have dreamed it. And it is funny. I won't be shocked if the Chiefs end up in the Super Bowl and we're like, oh, just like we thought, Eagles-Raiders, or Eagles-Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But man, what a road it would be for the Chiefs to have to get there. And they're the one team that could get, they could get in by the skin of their teeth and get hot. We've seen teams do that. And the common denominator for the teams that get in and get one of those low seeds and win the Super Bowl is a great quarterback. And we know they have that.
Yeah, no. This thing's going to be fun. I think it's been great what's going on, Bills and all the rest of these teams, to see what's going to happen. Mike, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll see you next week. Thank you. All right. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk joining us this morning. Hey, man, got a lot of stuff going on. Alex Dono, host of Locked On Canes, going to join us next to talk about the Canes' next two games coming up.
I want to get, you know, speaking of bold takes, I want to get your take on what's going on with the Hurricanes, their college football playoff ranking, and seemingly what the committee is trending towards, which, in my opinion, and I think a lot of us feel the same, is keeping the Hurricanes out if they don't end up getting lucky and getting into the ACC championship game. The college football playoff is taking a lot of heat, especially from those of us that follow the Canes and the ACC, for pretty much taking losses into account over wins head-to-head with that UM-Notre Dame battle. I just wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I don't think they're actively trying to keep Miami out. I think that, you know, it's up to each and every team in the top 20. I'd probably say in the top 18, I think, still have an opportunity to get into that playoff. It's up to them to play their way in. And, you know, I think they hit a stretch where it was a very concerning stretch of football that they did not look good. They did not look like a team that could make a run in the playoffs. I think that, you know, what I look at is they are discounting, I think, early wins in Miami's case and discounting even less early loss in Notre Dame's case. And I think that, you know, it is what it is. Miami doesn't control their own destiny. The bad thing is even if they win the last two, you know, they need Georgia Tech to lose to Pitt this weekend. I mean, they need Virginia to lose, and you don't have any control. So their only control, they took one step. They blew out NC State last week. All they can do is continue to play like that and hope college football continues to deliver chaos every week, and they slip in the side door because based on the rankings, they say, yeah, Miami's the highest-ranked ACC team, and then they put like a gold blocker on it, and they say, yeah, but this is really spot for the ACC champion, and Miami, you know, has a very slim chance of getting even in that championship game.
Yeah, you know, I stole your take from last week because it was so good. It's the SEC and the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and ACC are fighting to be the third leg on the big wheel of the
Big 12. Big 12 is even. I mean with the way Texas Tech's playing, their upper echelon seems to be better than anybody. Can beat anybody.
Yeah, so they're moving up. But also, you know, I haven't heard. It's funny they moved to 12. I've heard of strength of schedule for two decades. I've heard of, you know, strength of wins. Now they're doing strength of loss. Yeah. Like, you know, when did strength of loss get involved? Is this the first time you started hearing about strength of loss? Because I've heard that damn phrase 100 times this week.
I think it's 12 people in a room, and what they decide to deem important changes every year. It changes with the committee. You know, I think that, you know, I was reading like one guy took a leave of absence. He was the chair. Randall McDaniel, who I played with, who was All-American Hall of Famer out of Arizona State, I think he was supposed to be on the committee. He's not on the committee. Wesley Walls is on the committee. You know, that's something new. There's some athletic directors. I mean, I don't know. As an athletic director, don't you have a lot more on your plate to actually figure out and watch 65 college football games in a weekend and say, I think this team is better than this? I would just say this. I think that it's going to come out in the wash, and I don't know how it's going to come out. USC goes to Oregon this weekend, and to me, that's the first playoff game, because if USC beats Oregon on the road, they're in. Oregon's out, and USC is going to be in the playoffs, and vice versa. And then you're going to just start seeing dominoes of, okay, what happens with the rest of the SEC schedule? I mean, hell, Florida plays Tennessee. Tennessee maybe has an outside chance. but they're barely favored. They're not even favored by like 5 points. So it's still, there's so much, I would say, drama in these last few weeks. Ohio State hasn't won the Big Ten in 5 years. They won the national championship last year. Everybody's just thinking they're going to beat Michigan. They haven't done it in a long time. What happens if Michigan or Indiana and Ohio State both get the Big Ten championship game? And it will take us back to the BCS when Michigan and Ohio State beat the heck out of each other. And it was like 42-38. And they put them in the national championship game and they played again. So is it going to be Ohio State, Indiana based on a game 1-2? Is Texas A&M going to falter against Texas? I mean, hell, they were down, whatever, 4 or 5 touchdowns. All I know, a buddy of mine bet them 6-1 at halftime. And when they were down, I was like, man, you got some major skills there. But college football, it has delivered great drama every week. It's just the bad thing is Miami doesn't control its own destiny. And the conference as a whole, because Clemson doesn't have a good record, Florida State, there's the lack of respect for the conference as a whole is hurting Miami right now. Because, you know, look at I think it's Georgia is right outside. They don't control their own destiny. Georgia can not go to the SEC championship game and might have a bye and ranked in the top four. What more can you want? That would be like going, hey, you know what? You didn't win the AFC East, but you got a bye and you're going right in the conference championship game in the NFL. That's what's crazy about this season. It's been exciting. The good thing, Miami played well last week. I just it's probably their best offensive performance. Malachi Toney, I tell you what, man, he threw some balls. I was like, damn, now I see why he was playing quarterback in high school. He was throwing some strikes.
Gino, I feel like a lot of the mistrust for the playoff committee is because you have, now that Mac Rhodes is gone, you have Hunter Yurecek coming out and giving different reasons that contradict each other for different teams. I heard somebody earlier today talk about how they were giving Alabama grief for losing early to Florida State, while at the same time devaluing Miami's early win over Notre Dame. So I want to know from you, how do you think the committee can maybe fix the transparency issue they have? Is it making their deliberations something that people can actually see live in real time? Because what they're doing right now, it opens the door for a lot of people to have a lot of different theories of some nefarious things that go on in there.
I would say this, Josh, probably the best thing they could do is hire some PR firm to sit in a meeting with them. And when they come out, no one from that top 12 committee answers any question. Because you know as well as I do, when messaging gets messed up in any press conference, whether it's the Dolphins, Hurricanes, or any team, you're like, what the hell is going on in there behind closed doors? And I think that's what they've done. But we expect, a decision to be made, and you have 12 different opinions and one guy to walk out there and say, well, this is why. And it might not be the consensus, but it's what they have. With regard to the Alabama loss to at the start of the year to Florida State and then the Notre Dame loss, you should look at those things the same. And right. then, by the way, you're evaluating Miami against Notre Dame, but I don't with Miami, that's a hard argument to win because you lost recently, and recency bias in college football and rankings is always there. And I will go back to 1990 when we lost 2 games at the start of the year. I thought we had the best team at the end of the season. We got screwed. We went to the Cotton Bowl. We played Texas, who was number 3 in the country, and we beat them by 43 points. And that's what I mean. Why? Because of we didn't get the benefit of the doubt. We were playing the best football at the end of the season. And I don't think Miami's going to get the benefit of the doubt, unless a lot of things need to happen in front of them. And, and obviously, down here, we hope a lot of things happen in front of them.
Gino, are you on the call this week for Touchdown Radio?
We're going to Pitt, Georgia Tech. I'm going to see. I mean, it's a situation where, you know, Pitt got smoked last week against Notre Dame, and they're giving a lot of credit. This line seems to be a lot closer. Georgia Tech's got an unbelievable offense, number one in the country. The quarterback is averaging 340, 250 in the air, and he's a tough-as-nails kid. I know Wanky's his coach and loves him to death. Their defense is hot garbage and gave up 500-plus to Boston College, who I believe they won one game, maybe two.
Yeah, so, it's been rough for old Bill O'Brien up there.
Yeah, it has been a tough season up there in Chestnut Hill. So, you know, listen, a lot of things need to happen, but hell, college football delivers each and every week, and it'll be fun. It's just fun. But I literally, looking at the rankings this week, I think you go down to Michigan at 18, and I think of that, I think from 8 to 18, there's a lot of teams that can move. And like I said, USC is one of them. You know, you're going to have teams either in or out after this week. And you know, it's why their TV ratings are the best, that because of, you know, there is drama. Who's going to make the playoffs? Who's going to lay an egg at home, or, you know, and not perform? Nobody thought Alabama was going to lose at home last week, and, you know, Oklahoma, and they somehow found a way to beat them.
Gino Toretti joins the show each week thanks to our friends at the local 519 Plumbers Union. With all the changes in how America does business, you can count on one thing: the union-trained plumbers of Local 519. Join a winning team today with Local 519 Plumbers Union, a proven path to a strong career. Visit plumbers519.com. Gino, have a great call this weekend. Can't wait to talk to you next week. And
are we working next week? I mean, I like how you guys have to go in the studio. It's about time that building gets used down there in North Miami.
Don't do that, Gino.
I'll pick you up on the way in if you like it so much. Hey, I got a mic here for you.
Solana, just to go down towards your house. That's too far of a drive for me to go that way. Is even farther.
By the way, yeah, I already locked you in. 2:25 next week. Jimmy will be here. He'll do the show with you. Okay, so you,
all right,
Jimmy.
All right. So we're doing Monday or Tuesday then, because yeah, I got the Iron Bowl or something.
I'll text you.
We gotta figure that one out.
Yeah, I'll text you next week. Gino, thank you, man.
All right, see you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
All right, let's go to a guy that we all know very well around here. Been part of QAM for a long time. Alex Dono, host of Locked On Canes and the Canes postgame on WQAM. Dono, how you doing, bud?
Hey, Joe, I'm doing well. Just excited for some college football tomorrow. You know, excited to keep breaking down these CFP rankings when they come out. Man. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, I want to ask you about that. I guess everybody knows by now, 15 to 13 in the poll in the college football playoff rankings on the outside. Some of them are showing in the brackets that they're in, and some are saying they're still out and they got a long way to go. And Georgia Tech, Pitt, Virginia, SMU with one loss in the ACC, but strength of schedule and the team that college football playoff ranking committee would like to see is Miami, or they don't. So everybody's getting all lathered up. Even people that call games for the university are getting pretty fired up about everything right now. Listen, first thing you got to do is win these last two games. Let's just start with that, and then we'll have some time to really get fired up if you're not happy with the results. But you got to win these two games. And I do want to ask, I don't believe the committee has something against the Canes. I think everybody realizes, and maybe I'm being stupid, that the Canes are good for football. They're good for business. Don't you think, or no?
I would think so. You know, it definitely seems like there are certain brands they prioritize over the Canes, though. Like, you know, Notre Dame is the absolute darling, and obviously Alabama, they're going to do whatever they can to put them in that mix. I think what grinds people's gears about the whole Miami-Notre Dame thing is how they're separated by so many spots, despite Miami having the head-to-head with an identical record. And also the strength of record and strength of schedule are similar. So it's not as if Miami's playing a G5 schedule and Notre Dame's playing a power schedule. I think what people have a hard time getting past is when in every other sport, if you have the same record, the head-to-head is the primary tiebreaker. Yet the College Football Playoff Committee would say, well, no, it's not head-to-head. It's this team has better losses than the other teams. Well, hold on. Well, what about the wins, and what about the head-to-head? So I think that's what upsets people. Now, you know, over the next couple of weeks, and you said it perfectly, Joe, none of this matters if Miami doesn't win their final two games. So you have to start there. You have to beat Virginia Tech, and you have to beat Pitt to even be in that conversation 2-3 weeks from now when this actually matters, okay? So, I mean, that's where you have to kind of start on this. But then with the way that the committee actually ranks these teams, they've revealed that when they go through their conversations, Joe, they're not looking at a full board with every team and saying, okay, who lost, who's more deserving. They rank and compare teams based on three team groups. They call them comparative pools. And so the way the committee has been able to explain why Miami's head-to-head has not been weighed against Notre Dame to this point is they haven't been in the same comparative pool. They've never been in the same group of three or four teams, right? So, which seems kind of ridiculous because who decides who's in what pool, right? But oh, we can't compare them because they're not in the same comparative pool. You have to wonder if Miami does win their next two games and and win them impressively, can they get into that comparative pool where the committee would be forced to weigh the head-to-head?
Well, I think if Florida and Florida State were really good this year, and I don't mean like top, but like really good, have some really, really good wins and good records, that would help a lot too, right, on strength of schedule. Because this thing looked, when it started and Florida State beats Alabama, and then you beat up Florida State pretty well, especially through the first three quarters of that game, you thought, okay, man, this is going to be good. And Florida had a great second half last year with that young quarterback. They got it figured out, and then, you know, next thing you know, the coach is gone, and it's been a disaster. But let's talk about the game now here for just a second. Keontae Scott, what a loss, by the way. What a great, I don't know where you rank him for transfer portal guys, but what a year he is having. 10 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, and a pick 6. But he was a good one. I just want to start because I know he's not going to be playing anymore this season. But just a really good one. What's your thoughts on just how good the freshman class was, especially last week, from Fitzgerald to Pringle? You can go through all of them. More, they played a lot of young guys, and they didn't miss a beat. Matter of fact, it might have been their best game of the year.
Yeah, I think that this has been, you know, in the, 4 years now of Mario Cristobal era, this has been the most impactful total freshman class. I mean, the first, or Cristobal's second year, you know, Bain and Mark Fletcher had really good years, obviously, which you can't ignore. But just this year, the amount of guys who are stepping up, Joe, and, you know, Malachi Toney has become someone that, like, he never leaves the field. And that's part of what makes him so effective. And week after week, Toney is taking on more responsibility. I mean, it's gotten to a point where not only is he, you know, he's been one of your two leading receivers all season long, but he's also become, you know, the gadget guy who can throw passes. He can also run. You've designed plays to get him the football on the perimeter, get him the football early and often. And a couple things Shannon Dawson said about Toney this week is, I mean, number one, he's such a hard worker and he's so intelligent that, you know, they try not to throw too much at him. But even at, you know, 18 years old, was 17 when the season started, Toney is able to take on all these extra responsibilities without kind of getting overwhelmed by it, which is incredible. And then the other thing is, when he's involved in all these gadget plays, part of the reason why these gadget plays, they don't all work, but for the most part they work, is because he's always on the field, right? I mean, certain teams like have their gadget guy, like, oh, when this guy gets on the field, they're probably going to run something weird. But with Malachi Toney, you don't know because he's always on the field anyway, which is remarkable. And then, yeah, some of these other freshmen, Joe, I mean, Bryce Fitzgerald, you know, he's the guy who got the call to start, you know, once Keontae Scott was out for the year. And I agree, Keontae Scott was, you know, one of the best players, period, on this team before that unfortunate injury for him. But the next man up mentality has really worked for Miami with a guy like Bryce Fitzgerald, with a guy like Gerard Pringle. Going back to the offense, he's kind of unlocked this offense over the last couple weeks. Everyone's wondering, hey, how do you get more runs to the outside? How do you get more explosive plays from the running game? Gerard Pringle has provided that, and he's another one, despite, you know, being a true freshman, he didn't get tired despite a heavy workload in the game last week. He's someone he's picked up the pass protections. He knows the playbook now, which is how you get a freshman running back on the field. And yeah, Josh Moore at receiver is another one with the injuries that Miami's had at wideout these last couple of weeks. Now, we think we're going to get CJ Daniels back for this game, which is big. But Tony Johnson has also been out while CJ has been out, and Josh Moore has had his opportunities to step up. He makes those great contested catches, 50-50 balls. He's awesome with that. He's got explosiveness down the field. And so, yeah, it's pretty remarkable that with Miami having an opportunity to maybe get into the college football playoff, that you're going to have, you know, close to a half dozen true freshmen who are going to have to get you there. And these are all guys who have embraced their opportunities when they've been needed as the next man up.
I was shocked that Pringle jumped ahead of everybody. I knew Fletcher was still a little banged up. And as you said, he's going to be back and they're going to need a strong, in my opinion, I like big backs in the cold weather, like Mark Fletcher. I think it's built for him, but having Pringle now and moving ahead of all those guys, how much did that surprise you?
You know, based on the way he played in the Syracuse game before, the game before, it didn't surprise me a bit. Actually, I guess it always surprises you when they actually give a true freshman the nod, you know, especially like, and listen, Miami's coaching staff, the everything is at stake, right? You try to rely on your veterans when every game is a must win. So maybe it was a little bit surprising, but not all that surprising, Joe, considering how good Pringle was in the second half of the game before. Like, I really respect the fact that Mario Cristobal and his staff realized that, hey, like, this guy earned it on the field, like, the week before, that we can't not start him, right? And so I guess what we're all looking forward to seeing, you know, this weekend is, assuming Fletcher is back, Do they start Pringle again? And I think they very well will, Joe. I think they do value the fact that he did nothing last week, you know, to not warrant another start. And then also with Fletcher, you know, working his way back from an injury, they might be, you know, a little bit conservative with bringing him back and maybe not starting him. So I fully expect Gerard Pringle to start again, Joe. Now, I think Fletcher, you know, assuming he's fully recovered, can definitely play a lot in this game. And I don't think it matters as much who starts versus who plays well and how much you ride the hot hand. But it would not surprise me if they start Pringle for the second straight week.
I would love to see them come out and get a little creative with that game plan and not come up with that stuff just running the ball up the middle. Sure would like to see. I'd love the runs to the outside. But also, listen, man, you got a lot of good receivers. I think we saw it again last week. I know the weather's going to be a little different, but, boy, I'd love to see that passing game get going early on. Are you with me on that one?
I'm with you on that. And this is, you know, it's not a great defense that you're facing against Virginia Tech. So the recipe should be there. They're, you know, they're below average against the pass. They're below average against the run. You know, and obviously we'll have a different conversation about the Pittsburgh game the following week.
Right. And completely.
But, and I'm not guaranteeing Miami wins this Saturday, because really for me, this is about Miami not getting in their own way. Like, this is continuing to show that your offense is in fact clicking and you can sustain that for another game. You know, show us you're going to protect the football, because turnovers have hurt this team in the past. Show us you're going to be disciplined enough not to shoot yourself in the foot with penalties. If you do these things effectively, Joe, you should come away victorious here. Because, you know, up in Blacksburg, the storyline this week is not the Miami game. The storyline is, hey, we just hired our new head coach, James Franklin, who will not be coaching this weekend, Joe. He will be in the crowd, maybe providing some extra juice for those fans. But, you know, James Franklin is not coaching this weekend. They've got an actual game against Miami, and Miami should be the far better team on the field. So it's up to the Hurricanes to go out there and take care of business. But to your original question, yeah, there's no reason why the offense shouldn't continue to be creative. I think Shannon Dawson and his personnel have kind of found a rhythm now.
Yes.
And I'd like to see them continue that.
Yeah. Good stuff. Alex, thank you so much, but appreciate it very, very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Alex Donna, host of Locked On Canes and Canes Postgame here on WQAM. Don Bailey Jr., Canes radio analyst, going to join us later on here in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll talk to him. Mike Florio will join us, talk a little National Football League. There's always plenty of quarterback. And what do we got? A guy got spit on. We got that one. And a guy denied it, man. Hard to deny something everybody can see in with all these cameras and these close-ups, for sure.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Fix your camera, Leroy. Tobin and Leroy back with you here on FM 104.3 WQAM. And very excited to talk to our next guest. Joins us in studio, the voice of your Florida Panthers right here on WQAM, as the Cats won a wild one last night, Leroy, 8-5 over the Canucks. Doug Plagan's joining us here. Hello, Doug. How are you?
What's going on? How cool is this?
Yeah, very excited to have you.
Yeah. Usually we see you in your house.
Yeah, this is awesome.
It's awesome to have you. That was a wild one last night, man.
It was. I was just telling Leroy before we jumped in here, it almost felt like two or three different hockey games in one, the way that it started. The Panthers fell behind early, and it wasn't for a lack of execution or anything like that. Vancouver just came out, cashed in on some early opportunities, even though the Panthers had some good pressure. Stuck with it, as we've seen, has been a, you know, kind of a hallmark trait of this team in recent years. They really don't panic, and we saw that again last night. And, you know, that's a trait that they've had for a while. And got that big lead, then Vancouver battled back, and the Panthers ultimately ended up pulling away at the end. So, again, there was a little bit of everything in that game last
Do you
night.
Like calling games like that? All of the goals, is that exhausting? You've gotten used to the Paul Ball style and low score. We had this a few years ago when they were high flying, scoring all the time. Did you miss it? Did you harken back a couple of years to a game like that?
You know, from our perspective, and you always hear players sometimes enjoy playing in games like that because the Panthers set a franchise record last night with 16 different players getting a point, jeez, including Sergei Bobrovsky. I heard that from the folks on SiriusXM early this morning. That was a team record that 16 different Panthers had a point last night, and even Sergei Bobrovsky had an assist in the game. It is fun, high event hockey, as you'd say, but I guess we are fortunate in that the way this Panthers team has been constructed and the way that they've played the last few years, even when they're in low-scoring games, the Panthers games are interesting. Their low-scoring games are still fun.
Yes.
You can't say that about every team that we've seen over the last, over this era or going back to previous eras. Sometimes low-scoring games can be a little bit, low event. But
yeah,
that was a high-event game. We certainly had a good time with it, no doubt about that.
We were talking about this with you because, like, hockey, I mean, I'm sure you've been doing it your whole life. You've been getting ready for this and all that stuff. How the hell do you see the deflections? You call them so well all the time. These things are blasting shots. It's just little tip by, are you on binoculars? Like, did you just grow this hockey eye? How do you see this damn thing? The game's moving so damn fast.
Well, I appreciate it, first of all, and I'll admit there are times that I'm having to look at body language. A lot of times, first and foremost, players' body language will usually tell you what you need to know. And that
when they start celebrating, yes, you know, or he must have tipped.
You know, like if just from the perspective of sometimes the puck goes in and out so quickly or it barely goes in the net, and a player's body language will usually tell you that, you know, they know when the puck went in, whether it's you see guys start to celebrate or you see somebody from the team that got scored on start to let up on the play because they know that the puck just went in the net. So a lot of times, just watch the players. That'll tell you what you need to know. But I'm very fortunate, and it's probably because he spent so much time in front of the net in the National Hockey League battling with defensemen, but Billy Lindsay has a really good knack for noticing, A, that a deflection happened, and B, what that might have gone off of. And a lot of times what's happening in the booth is that deflection happens, the puck goes in, and even if I've caught it, Billy will grab the sheet and he starts pointing at a number.
So
it happens a lot. So yes, the teamwork does happen. Billy has an unbelievable eye for that, but it also just comes with doing a lot of games, the repetition, and I think you could probably say that about any profession out there, but you just start to get a feel for how things look, where the celebration starts. And let's say, you know, the guy who takes the shot isn't the one who's kind of leading the fist bump line over to the bench, then you kind of know that the guy who is the first over leading that fist bump line
tipped it.
He knows he tipped it, or his teammates know he tipped it. So you get a feel for it that way.
I got to tell you, I've never seen a situation where they stop a goal. So, you know, instead of deflecting it, they go, oh, if you would have just left it alone, it was in the net. I've never seen that. So, like, is everybody on the ice that aware of that puck, holy smokes.
They do practice it a lot.
Oh, really?
Deflections are a thing that gets practiced a lot, and that's why, and Paul Maurice has used this terminology before, but with a player like Matthew Tkachuk, for example, and Sam Reinhart, one of the best in the business as well, there is an art to tipping pucks, but you can take it a step further, and a couple of these guys are so gifted with their hands and their skills with the puck, and Tkachuk and Reinhart are prime examples of this, but it goes beyond just deflecting a puck, and Paul Maurice has said they almost steer it. It takes it to a different level. They're so good with that part of the game. But in the modern era, the goalies have gotten so good, and the goalies are only getting bigger. I mean, it seems like, you know, we're looking at 6'3 and 6'3 and up for the size of these goalies, which comes with huge wingspan. The days of, a Mike Vernon, for example, going back to the 90s or somebody like that who, was a 5'9, 5'10 goaltenders, you just don't see those as much. And when you see a goaltender who's listed at, for example, 6 foot even, he almost gets viewed a little bit on the smaller side as far as the game goes.
It blew
now.
Me away when I first met Bob. I was like,
tiny.
You're not, you see all that gear, but you're 6'1", slim, and all of these goalies now are enormous.
They're only getting bigger, it feels like. And you're starting to see goaltenders that are, like I said, 6'3 seems to almost be in the middle nowadays, and you're seeing more and more 6'4, 6'5, even goaltenders getting into that 6'6 range, which when you have a guy that big who then is going to have a wingspan that big and then is going to have equipment that needs to be that big to accommodate him, it's tough to find openings. It's tough to find a window to shoot at, and that's why these deflections, especially in the playoffs and in the big games and against teams that defend really well, it's become such a huge part of the sport.
What have you – oh, go ahead, Leroy.
I'm just – the other thing is it weird – like, is it just me because I don't watch as much hockey – but it seems like they go to the empty net a lot sooner than they were before.
So that it's a good observation because it definitely has been the case.
Like 5 minutes left, they go, "Whoa, goalies!" I'm like, "Wait a minute, we still got a quarter of the period."
It almost used to be, if you go back to like the 90s, for example, it was kind of like the unwritten protocol that you'd get down to about a minute and a half left, a minute left,
right.
You'd pull your goalie, and it kind of changed. You go back maybe a decade when Patrick Waugh had his first tour of duty as a head coach when he was coaching the Colorado Avalanche. And again, you go back about a decade and you started to see coaches kind of just trust their gut, the feel. How's the game going? If my top guys are rested and I feel like maybe we're coming out of a media timeout and there's, 5 minutes and change left and I'm just feeling good. Maybe that's our opportunity and we're going to get the goalie out. And it does change the dynamic in how a game is played, too. If a team's down one and all of a sudden you go that route, you play that card, if you will, it can send a jolt of momentum into a team. You might have your group with your top guys rested. You might calculate it to where, okay, my top guys are rested. Their top checking unit is not. So I have a good opportunity with a matchup late in the game that I want to get to try and tie this thing up. It's not as rigid as it used to be where you would have coaches, okay, minute and a half left, let's start to think about getting the goalie out and we'll do it that way. We've seen it now routinely. Some coaches have really taken it to different levels. I mean, you'll see it occasionally 5 or 6 minutes left, desperate times call for desperate measures, and a coach will pull his goaltender.
I got to get my hockey stuff out because when I ask him a hockey question, he gets mad at me, right?
You ask very specific questions.
No,
you have like very situations that
because
are
I'm trying to learn.
That was
right?
was a fine question. Like you didn't ask like, does that happen? But also, no. If they're on the power play, so, does that count?
Here's the other thing.
You got rule 41A-2. Like that's what the things that he asked me. I'm dude, I don't know.
Did you know if you're in overtime and you go empty net and you lose? You don't get
no
a point.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy smokes.
Yep.
Why?
And that came into play in recent. That came into play in recent years. Yeah.
Remember, I asked you about it last year.
Yep.
And they said, we need 2 points. We need 2 points.
Which that can happen. And there was a specific incident. We're going way back. There was a game in the late 80s where the New Jersey Devils went into overtime against Chicago late in the game. And I think a guy that a lot of folks have come to know as an analyst, Darren Pang, was actually the goaltender for Chicago in that game. But the Devils and the Blackhawks went to overtime. It was either late in the season, may have even been the last game of the season. The Devils needed 2 points. To make the playoffs. The 1 point for getting into overtime wasn't going to do it, so they had to win. And you might get into situations like that where that second point means so much. And you look now, too, across the league, that's partially why it's so difficult to make up ground and why really the worst thing you can do in the National Hockey League is have a dreadful start. You want to at least come out of the gate and be in the middle of the pack and at least tread water and do what you need to do to accumulate points. Because if you fall behind to try and make up ground when you have all these 3-point games, especially in a season like this where I don't know that we've seen – I know a lot of folks like to use the word parity. You hear the phrase competitive balance used a lot, and I think that's almost more of what we have here, and it's that all these teams truly night to night are capable of beating each other. I can't remember a season where you go into it, and I know everybody's going to always say the right things, but you go into it, and we can all look at it, and we know who the contenders are, who the teams in the middle are. We know what teams probably, for lack of a better way to put it, have a better chance at the draft lottery at the number one pick than they do it at winning the Stanley Cup. This year, you go into the season, there's like 27 out of 32 go into this thing, probably with realistic playoff aspirations and some sort of expectation that if it isn't met, there's going to be questions that have to be asked. I don't know that we've seen a season like this in a long time where you have so many teams that are in it And that's where these 3-point games come into play, and why if you fall behind, it's tough to make up ground. I guess it's a really lengthy way of answering why night to night,
right.
It's important to try and get those 2 points any way you can, and sometimes you get into spots where you absolutely have to have the 2 points.
Is it more important now with the injuries and the guys trying to, and so many guys called up aware, just to stay afloat and try to stay within reasonable distance from the top of the division or the conference? Because you know when those guys come back, there's going to be a lot of pressure on them to kind of get that charge going.
Yeah, you know, the Panthers, if we're just taking it to the Panthers' perspective here at this point in the season, they've done a really good job of that. They're a couple of games over 500, a lot of home games coming up here, so there's a good opportunity to make a move. And I know I mentioned it with Hawk and Crowder the other day, but there are a lot of teams out there. And it just goes back to, first of all, how strong the leadership group in the room is. This team's won back-to-back Stanley Cups, been to 3 straight Cup finals, and there's nobody sitting here comfortable with just what they've accomplished in the past. These guys know what they can do, and that they're in the middle of a contending window that spans years into the future with how many key players are signed. It speaks to what Paul Maurice has been able to instill as far as a system that is picked up. Guys know what to expect. They know what the standards are. They know what to go out and do each night. And it speaks to what Bill Zito's been able to build here as far as the roster goes and the organizational depth. There are a lot of teams out there. If you were to take their top line center, another all-star forward who's a point of game guy, a regular defenseman that played in the cup run last year, two-thirds of their fourth line, we're talking about Tomáš Nosek and Jonah Gadjevich from the playoff run last year, if you were to take these guys out of the lineup, you could take just the two guys, the two all-star forwards out, but going beyond that, the five players I just mentioned, a lot of teams, if you took that out of their lineup, they're prepping for the draft lottery.
Yeah.
Party, right. The party's over.
Right.
But what the Panthers have been able to do here, to say they're in it is an understatement.
Yeah.
They're right in the thick of this thing. It's a team that still has elite players up and down the lineup, whether it's, you know, elite players in the league, guys who are elite at the roles that they're filling. It's the Panthers are in a great spot right now, even with these players out and with hopefully returns down the road on the horizon, still very much a wait and see with all of these players, an opportunity to get some reinforcements perhaps down the road.
What your first full season calling Brad Marchand every single night. This has been an unbelievable run that it's been on, but what are the things that just stand out about him every night that you watch and you just appreciate that maybe you didn't when he was on Boston?
Yeah, on the ice, the things that we knew with the Boston Bruins, you knew about the fact that he played with that emotion and it was infectious and his teammates fed off it. So you knew about that. You knew how good of a penalty killer he is. Maybe the best penalty killing forward of this generation. Not just, you know, in Bruins history, not just, you know, he's one of the best penalty killers the game's ever seen. Unbelievable hands. And Paul Maurice has talked about this too, but
he does love his hands.
Yes.
He's so gifted offensively and in tight spaces. It's really impressive to watch. And at this, you know, he showing no signs of slowing down. And then you take it a step further, and we're fortunate to be around these guys at the practice rink, and whether it be on road trips, whatever the case may be. For a guy who's been in the game this long, who is a future Hall of Famer, the attitude he brings every single day, he knows when to keep things light, but he also plays with, you know, an unmatched intensity. I asked Evan Rodriguez the same question the other day, just to, you know, he's still one of the newest Panthers, Brad is, because he just came at the deadline last year, but he was obviously involved in the cup run, and Evan said one of the things you appreciate is just seeing how much he loves and just values doing this every single day. And it just, that's something that rubs off on everybody. So it's been special to watch him play every single night. And it's a really rare instance now that we're seeing where he's, when it's all said and done, and, you know, the way he's playing, no signs of slowing down. We're talking years down the road, but when it's all said and done, he's going to be absolutely beloved by two different fan bases, which is a rare situation for an athlete. You know, a lot of guys might be beloved in one place, have a little bit of success somewhere else, contribute to something, but this guy's going to be absolutely beloved in two different places.
And won championships in both places. Like, I didn't realize how just fast and just he's all over the place. Because a lot of times people say, oh, I hate that guy. He's a menace. Mm-hmm. And when you think of guys like that, they play a different style of hockey. He does, yeah, he's that. He's an antagonist. But the style of hockey, he's not like, you know, a bruiser or anything like that. He is, it's fun.
He knows the game within the game. Yes. And the same way that Matthew Tkachuk, I thought, you know, coming into the year or coming in just, I've thought since he was a Panther that there's really nobody who knows the game within the game, maybe who has his finger on the pulse of a game better than Matthew Tkachuk when you talk about knowing when the perfect time to lay a big hit is, the perfect time to, you know, try and turn the momentum of a game. He just knows exactly. He's just so dialed in. Brad's that same yep. kind of guy.
Doug Plagans joining us here in studio. Before we get you out of here, a couple big ones coming up. You got New Jersey's having a hell of a season. Yep. They're coming up on Thursday, and then
no
you got
Jack Hughes, the freak injury that happened there.
And then you got the Cup rematch coming up on this mm-hmm. week. Is there one out of those two you're more looking forward to, or just kind of see where this team is at?
They're both important games. I think you look at the New Jersey game, even without Jack Hughes for the better part of a couple of months, what they're saying, it's still a very talented team and a team that's going to be playoff bound. If somehow New Jersey didn't make the playoffs, then there was a collapse that took place. So it's I know we overuse people in our seats overuse the phrase measuring stick game mm-hmm. sometimes, but these are, you have to look at them that way in a sense, because I mean, don't look now. We've already played about a quarter of the season. We're getting close to that mark of the year. 25% of this thing's flown by faster than I think anybody could have ever envisioned because the condensed schedule, the Olympics this year, everything like that. So you do need to look at games like New Jersey coming up, a team that you may run into down the road in a playoff matchup, something like that. But always interesting with Edmonton. It's gotten to be that way, obviously. A history, to say the least, between these two, and the Panthers have beaten them in the Cup final back-to-back years, and Edmonton not having the type of season they would like to be having
look at
right
the
now.
Like, are they, do you think, because I'm not following them day-to-day, like, are they going through a lot of just the fatigue of the runs too, you think that's happening, or are there other struggles that they're dealing with?
They had a tough start last year. If we're talking about it right now, I don't love the supporting cast of the roster that they have now. I haven't loved the supporting cast. I've been fine. If I'm looking at it from Edmonton's perspective the last couple of years, I couldn't say I was ever more than fine with the supporting cast that they had. I thought the supporting cast, and when I say the supporting cast, I mean the guys who aren't McDavid, Draisaitl, Evan Bouchard. So right. I think the first year the two teams met in the Cup final, the series that went to seven, I thought that Edmonton's supporting cast was the strongest in that of these three seasons of in that year. I thought it was the strongest. Last year, I thought it was a little bit of a notch below the previous year. And this year, I think there are some unknowns. There are some young guys, some guys that maybe haven't turned the corner yet. And, you know, it's a team that has had some slow starts in recent years. And, I mean, Leroy, you might be able to speak to this more, just knowing what a pro athlete goes through and the grind of everything. But in their scenario, to go all the way to the finish line, back-to-back years, and then fall just short, and then have to wind it all back up and try to do it all over again. I mean, that has to take a bit of a toll.
The biggest problem with all of it is that you bring, you know, the whole organization comes out with this plan to beat the Florida Panthers, but all the other teams are doing it too. So the next team that you might have to face to win a Stanley Cup might not be the Florida Panthers, and now you've gotten ready for a team that's not there. And it just keeps, you know, it's so rare for a team to go to three straight finals in anything. So to say you are getting ready for them, it's not like Florida getting ready for Tampa or Florida with Carolina, right? This is totally different. There's a lot of good teams out there, and I give you a perfect example. We went 15-1. We lost to Atlanta in overtime, which to this day drives me crazy. We figured we're that good. We'll come back this next. Next year, we're okay. We got to the playoffs. Guess who we ran into? The greatest show on turf. We were up 27-20. So we go in at halftime. No bigs. Go finish this out and go to the next one. We lost 49-27.
Jesus.
That and That was, we think we're getting ready for Denver and we're getting ready for Atlanta. And here comes the greatest show on turf who had a run of 3 or 4 years. That's how sports is crazy. And that even when we project, even when I'd say when we project NFL season or what team's going to be good or not, we always forget about the teams getting better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We only think about the teams we saw last year. Who's going to be that team that comes out of nowhere that finally puts it all together like the Panthers did 3 or 4 years ago? There's going to be a couple of those teams. There are going to be a couple of teams.
Hey, that's the, you always have to remind yourself there are 31 other teams trying to win this thing too.
Yes!
And the Panthers, so what the Panthers are doing is absolutely historic. And then you have the short off season. So everybody says, how do you recover? How do you overcome the short off season and not having that time to heal? Well, it's a lot easier to deal with when your short off season is full of parading the Stanley Cup around and you get to experience that and then you get to have everything and you get to raise a banner. Yeah. Imagine being the Edmonton Oilers and playing all the way to June 24th 1 year and then playing all the way to June 17th the next year, and all you have is a couple of conference championship banners to show for it. That has to take a toll.
I think that this team is kind of feeling the wear and tear a little bit as far as the Panthers, but they've done a good job of getting other guys in, give them a chance to get healthy. I think the biggest issue is you can just see some of the injuries that they're having. It's like muscular, like with Kachuk, groin. It's not bone stuff. It's like groin because you've just been going at it for so long. These guys have played almost an extra season of hockey. So, and everybody else has played 3 seasons of hockey. They've played enough games for 4. So just imagine adding an extra year. It catches up and you have to be, you know, safe. They're in really good shape because I've never watched on the ice and go, that guy's taking a break. Like, I've never seen
it. No, they play hard.
Right, they play hard. And to do that, it takes a different type of person to be able to go through that. And Paul Maurice, it just has a way of getting it out of him. It's hard.
You look at Anton Lundell, for example. He's a fifth-year guy who basically has played 6 years in the NHL because you add up the basically a full season's worth of playoff games.
He's also the most spoiled young player in the NHL.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. 5 years. I've been to 3 Stanley Cups. This is easy league.
Catch Doug Plagans Thursday night, Cats and Devils. You can hear that right here on QAM. Doug, appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to see you guys in person.
Great to see you. We'll take a break, get you caught up with your headlines back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.